Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. It's time for The Upswing on WTMJ, showcasing businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders throughout the great state of Wisconsin. Here's your host, Jeff Sherman.
I'm gonna make this place yours.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope you had a wonderful weekend and you got out and about. No matter where you live in this fine state of ours, it's full of economic and tourism activity. Being a tourist in Wisconsin is super easy. We have so many amazing destinations. The historic Third Ward, though, has become one of Wisconsin's top neighborhood destinations for the arts, dining, shopping, recreation, and a whole lot more. Just to kind of paint the picture for you. It's just south of downtown. The historic Third Ward's a really easy walk from the studios here at Good Karma. Steps away from Lake Michigan. Right here, the home of Summerfest and the home of all the city's top festivals. It's historic yet modern. It's kind of gritty still, but it's really glamorous at the same time. It's full of Renaissance, and there's seemingly things building and happening each and every day. Yet, as I always say about cities and development, especially on Mondays here on this show, we're about movement and we're about community. It's the lack of pretense that makes it shine. The Third Ward is truly authentic, and it is what it is, and we love it. Like all neighborhoods and destinations, they don't grow themselves. That's why our wonderful guests are here today. They need leaders and organizations that get up every day and power the events, the economics, and the infrastructure. So today, with the summer on the horizon, the great Milwaukee summer, new buildings and tenants afoot, new plans being laid, and a new tour, we're going to talk about a new augmented reality tour that's coming to the Third Ward. We thought it'd be really good timing to have Jim Playstead, Executive Director of the Historic Third Ward Association, and Paul Schwartz, Executive Director of the Milwaukee Public Market and the Third Ward Business Improvement District, on the show. They're going to explain how their two entities are related and work together. We'll let them do that a little later in the show. But first, a creative way to introduce both of you. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal had a really good piece about first jobs. It was titled, Follow Your Dreams and Other Terrible Career Advice. Not saying you made horrible career advice at all, but you want to make a strong professional start, be open to every opportunity, and embrace the lowliest tasks. It made me think, what was your first job? Let's think about our first jobs. Paul, you started as an intern at the Milwaukee Public Market. Was that your very first job?
No, it was not.
Okay.
Can I just say, I'm glad we were recording that whole intro. I feel like we can use that in so many different ways.
Totally.
Thanks, Jeff. So actually what I applied for was an administrative assistant position, which is essentially was an intern. And I feel like I'm still an intern in some ways. But the first job I ever had was as a laborer construction company, residential construction company in Kenosha County where I grew up. And then I had, you know, different service industry jobs just through college and stuff like that too. But the market was definitely entry level, do whatever you can, whatever was needed. And that ethos is still kind of how we shape our vision and our mission going forward. And I think it's probably what's made it successful.
So did you ever think, just think career goals and change, did you ever think you'd be running the best public market in the country after having started kind of at an entry-level position?
No. And I mean, I don't think that I have an aspiration to do much beyond what's a couple week ahead of me. But
yeah.
The best way to answer that is no. You were around and there and very aware of what was going on in 2007 when I started. But it was do what you can to make it work. And I had no aspirations to lead the organizations. I didn't have many aspirations at all. What I wanted to do, or what my heart was. Be passionate about going into work every day. Be passionate about whatever project you're working on or whatever skill set that you're honing. Just have that passion to go through it and wake up in the morning excited about how you're going to tackle that. And I think My friend Jim and I have that kind of through our mindset and have carried us probably a long way. And I won't speak for Jim on his first job, but I would imagine that he has similar feelings.
Well, when we come back from the break, the Milwaukee Public Market opened in 2005 on the corner of North Water Street and East St. Paul Avenue. Public Market is now home to 18 local vendors, hosts a number of community building events, Free River Walk Commons concert series, and a whole lot more. Jim Playstead from the historic Third Ward. Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market. We're talking all things Third Ward and more. This is The Upswing, and you are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing, honoring those who dedicate their lives to keeping us safe. WTMJ is highlighting first responders who went above and beyond this past year through Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. You can nominate your first responder now at WTMJ.com or on the WTMJ mobile app. The nomination period is open now through May 10th. Finalists will be recognized during Hero Week that runs May 20th through May 24th. Help us tell your story. Steve Scafidi's Salute to Service, presented by Waterstone Bank and sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. All right, welcome back. Jim Playstead and Paul Schwartz from the historic Third Ward in the Milwaukee Public Market join us today. Jim, give us your quick background, please. You're kind of a fixture in economic development in the Milwaukee area. Started with the city and have worked for several business improvement districts.
Yeah, and that's where I was going to go. So I had one of the first opportunities out of college was work for Alderman at the Common Council back in the late 80s, mid-90s. Worked for Alderman Chris Kraniak, Alderman Mike D'Amato. And while I was working for D'Amato, at the tail end of his first term, the East Side bid, the North Avenue Group, was forming with their whole project plan. And Mike looked at me and said, you should check this out. And so, lo and behold, I started doing that. You followed on the board shortly after that.
I had the honor of serving 10 years on the East Side Business Group District Board. We did some big things.
And as time went on, it's not a robust budget that bid has, and I put together three contracts with three small bids, the North Avenue one, the Shorewood bid, and the Wauwatosa Village bid. And I put those together for a full-time career for about 10 years, and then the Third Ward job came up, which is the resources I never had, the focus and planning and organizational aspects that the other bids were just too small to have. Yeah. So it's really been a blessing that I found this. But yeah, it's been a great career of working in community, what I call community development and management. And it's just amazing, the group we have in the Third Ward, from the board of directors to the staff. It's just a really fun place to work.
And from a business standpoint, the business improvement district in the Third Ward operates and maintains the Milwaukee Public Market. Give us an idea of, just talk about the bid portfolio and how that works in terms of ownership of the market.
So our bid in the Third Ward is probably unique to most others in the state, probably, in that we actually own operating businesses. We have the public market building. We own two parking structures that have roughly 900 spaces, and we hold about 20 commercial tenant leases, many of which are obviously in the market building, but then we own the Benelux building. We have first floor tenants at the two parking structures. And then we have on use agreement or contract, we manage about a dozen public spaces in the district, including the Riverwalk, public parks, things like that. And so we grand total between market and bid staff, it's about 60 people on payroll.
Okay.
And then obviously work hand in hand with Jim and the Third Ward Association staff to carry out all the efforts and communication and management of all of the spaces. So we have skin in the game in terms of property management, but we also have it's what provides us resources outside of the bid tax assessment that enables us to do all that too.
And I mean, it's truly you have roughly, 2 million annual visitors, vendor sales over $25 million. So it's a true business that is incubating entrepreneurs who are staying not only there, but maybe going off and opening other locations around the area too.
Absolutely. And I think that the other thing, when the market was built, it was meant to be an economic multiplier. So you build this and they will come.
Yeah.
If you look at even the surrounding area on St. Paul, the Benelux building, all these others that were not developed or were underdeveloped at that time from 2005 to now 2024. I think it's carried out that mission of actually having people who want to either live or open their business in close proximity to the market. So it's having its that original idea has certainly come to fruition and then some.
Mm-hmm. So last month, USA Today, in their 10 best regular feature, readers and people from all over the country voted the Milwaukee Public Market the number one public market in the country. I mean, does Milwaukee just vote really well, or is it just that good? I think it's both, but just walk me through that process in terms of when you heard.
Has your mom worked her carpal tunnel?
Yeah, Jim and I were joking. My mom just sitting in front of a computer every morning at 4 a.m. just voting.
We had Pike Place in Seattle come in number 9, the Boston Public Market number 7, you know, the expansive Eastern Market in Detroit number 2. So some really good competition, if you want. Yeah. I think you collaborate with all these markets anyway.
100%.
But to come in number one, it's a true testament to what you're doing.
I mean, it's beyond humbling, and what it boils down to is people, right? And you're right. There's a lot of people on that list and a lot of markets on that list that have a significant population advantage to the city of Milwaukee. So therefore, getting out the vote and things like that, they can have an advantage over that. But I think regardless of whether it was us just getting out the vote campaign that was successful or the notion that the market is the best in the country, I subscribe to both of those opinions that it's an affirmative yes. But it really boils down to us building a coalition of people who support this on a regular, day in and day out, voting campaign. And with our partners like the Third Ward Association, who also got voted top 5 arts district in the country. I just feel there's something really special happening in the Third Ward that has made this great success story, and we're just happy to be riding the crest of the wave.
All right. When we come back, how does the Milwaukee Public Market continue to grow and gain new vendors and market share? And ghost signs. Yes, ghost signs in the historic Third Ward. Coming up next, this is The Upswing, and you are listening to WTMJ.
Little ghost, what I'm scared of the most. Can you scare me up a little bit of love? I'm the only one that sees you, and I can't do much to please you, and it's not your time.
Welcome back to The Upswing. The historic Third Ward has a new ghost signs tour. First, the WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1620. If you have questions specifically as we go through this new augmented history reality tour that takes you on a journey to the past to explore the historic ghost signs found in and around the Third Ward. So Jim Playstead, the Third Ward was kind of a manufacturing and industrial center in the 1900s, and a lot of the companies on the side of their businesses kind of leveraged those to create amazing ways to showcase their products and their partners. But a lot of them are kind of not in decay, but you can't really see them well. So what has your organization done to bring these back to life?
So a couple of things. So we have an architectural review board and guidelines that were adopted by the city of Milwaukee in 2005. And those ghost signs, these historic signs that are fading in various degrees of fading on brick facades in the Third Ward, are actually protected. You can't bring them back, and you can't sandblast them off.
Hmm.
So it's part of the history and the culture of the Third Ward. So what happened earlier this year is a creative director at Hoffman New York, Mike Rowe, literally came into our office and said, I want to show you guys something. And so myself and Jordan DeChambre and Celeste Brunner sat down with Mike, and Mike unveiled this augmented reality tour of the ghost signs in the Third Ward. So his staff researched what these signs looked like. They went to the Historical Society. They got original artwork out of photographs. In some instances, recreated the colors. And so what this is it's a website. It's augmentedhistory.org. Yeah. You go to it right now. We're doing a more formal launch this Thursday at the Third Ward Beer Garden.
Hmm.
But basically, the website explains it very well, especially for radio listeners. But basically what it is based on where you're standing in proximity to a ghost sign, pre-programmed ghost signs will show up on your phone.
Okay.
It's not quite that simple.
Right.
But again, the website will walk you through it. And it's stunning. And there's a little historical augmented reality, a historical marker that they placed in there to tell you about that business. So some really prominent walls. I think there's about 9 or 10
okay.
around the ward that you can see once you get down on the street with your phone.
So all the signs are protected by the historic registry. They can't be painted over the correct. Buildings if they correct. Were going to be redeveloped. What that have to go through the architectural review board process? Like,
correct.
So the buildings couldn't be
correct.
Taken down without preserving the signs in some way, shape, or form.
Right. Well, the buildings can't be taken down, period.
Okay.
In the historic
right.
district.
Ah, okay.
Right.
All right. So how you take the tour, you point your phone, and all the research that you and your group have done kind of brings the signs back to life on your phone. I mean, that's the heart of it.
Yeah. And you can even do a selfie with the okay. sign in the background.
All right.
It takes some machinations, but you can get it done. It's really cool. I highly encourage everybody to try it when they're down in the third ward. And we're working through some little ticks in it, but it's a really great gift that Hoffman York has. They're literally handing it off to the Association to promote and manage. So
and there isn't
excited.
A charge. It's free
yep,
to use.
Free.
Just use your phone.
Correct.
Go to the website. Some of the bigger names that you'll see on the sides of buildings, there's a big Quaker Oats sign. I think there's a Coca-Cola.
Yep.
Blatz.
There's a Blatz on the side of Onesto.
Okay.
Rex Chocolates. On the side of the blank on what side it is. There's a couple Rex chocolate signs.
Okay. All right. Let's see. When you talk about the third ward, you mentioned the new beer garden. Talk to us a little bit about that and kind of how that came about. Obviously, a lot of parks using beer gardens mm-hmm. to, you know, not only make new gatherings places, but provide additional revenue for organizations.
Correct. I mean, it actually happened very organically. Dave and Leanne Hock were residents in the third ward and have beverage industry experience. They run the Bud Pavilion out at State Fair. They came to us early last year and said, what if? And, you know, we talked about it internally. We've got a lot of layers of agreement there with the city. But by and large, our main goal was to bring people down to that part of the ward. We know what kind of traffic the market is generating, that kind of intense.
And the location is at the end of Broadway.
It's at the 100 block of Broadway
okay.
between Young and Erie and Broadway and Menominee. And it's just been an enormous success. The Hawks are doing a great job. We have got this weekend, especially, and last weekend, that warm Saturday, a couple hundred people in the park that would not have been there otherwise. And they're spilling into the neighborhood. They're coming from afar. It's just doing a great job.
And when is the kickoff event for the signage tour?
It's this Thursday.
This Thursday at yep. what time?
At 5.
At 5. And everyone's invited? Just be kind of a presentation and a walkthrough?
Less formal than that.
All right. Very good. Well, show up, be a part of it, and embrace the ghost signs. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our conversation around connections and talk a little bit about what's coming in terms of traffic, congestion, and I-794. Welcome back to the Upswing, all things historic Third Ward in Milwaukee Public Market today with Jim Playstead, Executive Director of the Historic Third Ward Association, and Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market. Let's talk about streets and connections to downtown. How will the third ward continue to adapt its infrastructure and really accommodate growth while minimizing, you know, fears of congestion and really maintaining kind of a accessibility for everyone? I'm sure that's something that's always on your mind, Jim, and you got to look into what the downtown master plan says, but how do you manage growth and traffic and create safer and safer streets?
Well, I mean, one of the initiatives we're taking right now in coordination with the bid is we've hired a consultant to look at the narrowing of Water Street, narrowing for traffic. So currently Water Street is parking lane, two traffic lanes, and then the reverse on the other side. So it's a very wide traffic street for cars, 8-foot sidewalks.
Okay.
For comparison, Broadway is 18-foot sidewalks. So we are now looking at plans with the city's cooperation to potentially bring those curbs out, minimize the traffic lane down to one traffic lane in either direction. And we're not concerned about congestion. Going back to the North Avenue story, you know, we heard that bringing North Avenue down to one lane back in the day between Oakland and Prospect was going to cause similar chaos. It didn't. It's now everything that North Avenue is successful for with the bump outs at the big intersection. And we just want to do the same down the ward. So it's a long-term process. We still have to engage the city after we're done with our consultant work. But that's one of the things we're trying to do to continue to enhance pedestrian safety, slow down traffic, given the amount of visitors. We have, geofence the neighborhood, we have over 8 million visitors a year to the ward, 2 million to Paul's building. And that's, you know, that's got to be managed from a safety standpoint. And part of that is slowing down traffic, and part of that is providing good pedestrian safety features like wider sidewalks, smaller crosswalks, things like that.
I always say that streets should be developed for people first. Yes, people drive cars, but when they're developed for people first, you find more ways to create discovery of neighborhoods.
Right.
And no matter what neighborhood that is, that's what the design has to be. In terms of the sidewalk development, larger sidewalks better for the area? Or do they create more opportunity for engagement, the wider sidewalk space that you referenced on Water Street?
Well, it provides, I mean, on Water Street, there's no trees.
Yeah.
No place for planters, and no place, at least on the east side of the street, for a patio, a cafe to come out and put tables on the street. So all of those amenities could be realized in a wider sidewalk, and it'll just, and especially the greening up of that street as we have on Broadway, as we have in Milwaukee and other areas of the ward.
Okay. Well, last week, the Wisconsin Public Policy Forum hosted a panel discussion on numerous transit projects. Many of them will have some creative effect on the Third Ward. Numerous plans and proposals were discussed, including the future of the HOP, bus rapid transit lines, 27th Street corridor, I-94 reconstruction. The one thing on everyone's minds, though, at that event and others similar events is the future of I-794. So I want to talk about that when we come back from the break, see what the Third Ward has on their minds in terms of redevelopment of that structure, and talk about the future of the Milwaukee streetcar, the HOP. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
Let's go to the HOP. Let's go to the HOP. Let's go to the HOP.
Welcome back to The Upswing, all things Historic Third Ward, talking downtown development with Jim Playstead from the Historic Third Ward Association and Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation said everything is on the table in terms of the future of I-794, looking at options, kind of three distinct groups: the removal, the replacement, and kind of a middle ground replacement, if you will. What questions as a neighborhood and a downtown destination do you have about the future of 794?
I think, you know, to start it out, I mean, I think that this process has been, I tip my hat to WSDOT and to HNTB, who are leading the planning efforts on engaging the public. Jim and I have been a part of a number of stakeholder meetings to kind of work through some of these options and to get feedback. As Jim indicated, you know, one of the things that we've worked on successfully, not only in with current projects, but over the last decade, has been improving the streets that run through the Third Ward for better pedestrian connectivity. And then taking public spaces and adding amenities to those public spaces that are pedestrian driven. I think one of the biggest questions that come up with certainly a number of these, but I'll just take the freeway removal, is what are the surface level streets? How wide do they have to be to accommodate the traffic flow? The Park East project has been mentioned a number of times.
Right.
When the Park East went away, you now have McKinley there, which is about 100 feet wide, three lanes in each direction. And certainly some of the feedback we're getting that type of surface level street creates as much of a divide as a freeway can in some ways. Mm-hmm. So what is the street layout going to be? What's the street grid going to be improved at? And then how is this going to impact the other public amenities that we are working to create, which is the dog park and Riverwalk Commons concert series, and then just traffic flow and access into the neighborhood by taking it down.
Jim, what are you hearing from your residents and business owners?
Well, in general, not a lot. Yeah. So Paul and I are now part of an effort with the two organizations. We're going to start drawing people out more. I'm asking people on the street, hey, have you thought about this? What do you think? And they're like, really haven't given it a thought. So we're going to start pushing the conversation internally in the neighborhood with residents, with businesses, and start getting feedback for potentially for the organizations to take a position towards the end of this study. But one of the things I think that concerns me most about the teardown option is what happens to the existing business environment. Okay. The third ward is on fire. Mm-hmm. Development wise, business wise, Paul's hitting record markets at the public market. His vendors are successful. We've got small businesses that have exceeded pre-pandemic numbers for their business activity. What happens in a 5 to 7 year project of rebuilding that space? Do we start getting our destination people starting to get different habits and going elsewhere during that 5 years, and then we got to fight to get them back? You know, we fought so hard for 30 years to get this kind of traffic down in the third ward, and that kind of project, the teardown, would really, really be concerning from a time standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to look at the lens. You know, many of these projects are about 20 to 30 years in the future, and looking, whoa, what's the next year or two mean? It may mean habits change and infrastructure changes, and there's never easy answers, but it's good that there's a collaborative process moving forward. If and when the downtown streetcar expands, where should it go next?
Oh, man.
Well, it's planned for Milwaukee Street into Walker's Point.
Okay.
And then I think a northbound, not in the third ward, but from 4th Street up through ML King. I think that's a great logical extension. Airport.
Right.
Otto and Miller Park. American Family Field.
Yeah. You've spent some time looking at Prospect and Farwell Avenues in terms of changing those streets from one-way to two-way traffic. Do you think eventually we could get the streetcar to UWM in East?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
I mean, we know that's the most active transit corridor as far as usage goes on the bus lines that go up there, and it's a no-brainer to put the streetcar on that and watch it succeed.
All right. We want to talk about affordable housing. Property values continue to rise. How can the Third Ward ensure that there's still plenty of housing options available for a diverse range of residents? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back. Moving through the historic Third Ward this beautiful Monday here in downtown Milwaukee. A new residential project, 333 Water at 333 North Water Street, is a 31-story tower with luxury rental units being developed by Houston-based Hines Development. It's a $167 million project, opens June 8th, I believe. Jim Plaisted, how do we continue to encourage more and more downtown housing development, and how do you go about it from an organizational standpoint?
Well, I think, first of all, we embrace it. We're up to, we think, about 3,600 residents. Okay. Maybe 10 years ago, it was about 1,000. Both between 333 and the Cading development, which is happening over on the former ICC property, that's going to be 500 units in the neighborhood. Add in Couture at another X. I forgot what their delta is. It's just amazing. That's what we need to grow downtown, along with more moves by employers, right? Whether it's Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee Tool, Pfizer, things like that. So just the momentum that's been happening in the greater downtown, in the third ward, I don't see it really stopping.
Yeah.
And Paul's been working on another development across the river from the market. I'll let him talk about that.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to hear, you know, what are you most excited about from a development lens other than your own entity, Paul Schwartz?
Sure. Well, obviously the one that we've been collectively working on, I say we, the third ward bid, the downtown bid, the association, all collective organizations that you have in the greater downtown area has been the Dog Park project, which is coming to fruition and has also helped lure a title sponsor that is also in the beer making business and hospitality business in From Family Pet Food and Foxtown Brewing.
And someone that didn't have a downtown presence.
They are putting their money behind it, did not ask for any public subsidy. And the economic ripple effect is already being seen in their partnerships. From already does host Pet Fest at Summerfest annually. This is going to be a significant 30,000 square foot restaurant, distillery, brewery, and private event space that is going to make this a true dog district as it's being defined, including 400 linear feet of new Riverwalk and an improved pedestrian plaza in between the dog park site and Foxtown Landing. This is going to really put, I think, Milwaukee on a map in a completely different way, and certainly kind of get us to where we need to be in terms of dog and pet amenities that we're not there yet in terms of our peer cities. And so that's been exciting. I can't wait for that one to unfold. Yeah.
Another big land parcel, if you will, our friends at Milwaukee World Festival, Inc. You know, Summerfest has an RFP out right now to look at different ways to continue to activate that land throughout the year. How has your organization, Jim, been involved in that? And what, you know, let's just take the Milwaukee Magic Wand, and you're like, whoa, this is what I could do at Summerfest all winter long. Do you think there's opportunities for retail, residential, restaurants? Like, what does that look like from a Third Ward lens?
Well, first of all, Summerfest is a strong partner. They're part of the Third Ward. They're a member of our association. They're a stakeholder. So we're hoping to partner. We have not seen the RFP, but okay, we're hoping to partner on whatever those ideas are. But I think it's really for us, for me as a resident, and that uses the access points they give us for accessing Lakeshore State Park in the off season, or the children's park, is just continued activation of the grounds year round. Caution for your listeners: remember, it's on the public trust doctrine land, so they can't necessarily build any kind of permanent buildings, permanent housing, permanent.
Could they adapt? They can adapt current buildings that are already there into,
I'm assuming,
year long use,
right? But it's complicated, you know, because a lot of people from outside go, why isn't that land developed?
And, right.
Well, there's a reason, and that's why Summerfest ended up there. But anyway,
do you think there's more opportunity for park like space? You know, whether it's some of the parking lots or some of the vacant land around the Summerfest grounds?
For sure. For sure. I mean, there's been some outside proposals trying to influence their decision making on this prior to this study. But yeah, green space isn't obvious. Right now, Lakeshore State Park is one of our main green spaces as Third Ward residents, along with our pocket parks that we have all over the ward. But, you know, increasing that just increases the vitality of downtown if we can turn that asphalt into green space.
What's one thing from another city, just quickly? We've got about 30 seconds. Something you've seen in another city that you're like, I need to bring this to the Third Ward.
We've got them here. Something I'd love to see in the Third Ward is a kind of a similar Laughing Tap type of business open up, which is the stand-up comedy partnered with craft beer. The Third Ward is an arts district. I think comedy brings a level of to that, and it can be enjoyed by both locals and become a destination for people out of town, and you get to drink beer alongside of it.
All right.
So
creating more innovation around the heritage of Milwaukee, that's what the Third Ward's all about. Paul Schwartz from the Milwaukee Public Market, Jim Plaisted from the Historic Third Ward Association, thanks for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your week.